May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. How to wait in line and how to take our turn is one of the things we learn during our early school days. It is something we do all our lives. We wait in line to board a bus, at the bank, at the airport, when we are going through security or boarding the flight, at the store, the people at the front of the line often get to pay for their groceries first. But you know, the scripture reading in the parable says, the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. And when I was thinking about this, I just remembered what sometimes happens when I'm in Aldi. I don't know if you have ever heard this. Dear customers, we are opening till number 3. Have you heard that before? And sometimes you end up discovering that the person at the back ends up being the first, while others who were in front are still waiting because the till is all loaded. So again, in a way, the standard of Jesus can be confirmed if you go to Aldi this afternoon. Because I bet you will hear it, dear customers. And I don't know who says that. The voice is always very unique. And for some reasons, I tend to expect that voice, especially when I'm running late, if I want to run out for something, and I'm like listening, would they just say, we are opening, dear customers? And sometimes it happens. So waiting in the line is something we do. As read in our first Bible lesson, Peter, on visit to Cornelius' house, made it clear to the crowd that was already waiting for him that Jesus came not just for people of his country, but for all people, people of all nations. And in one part of this message, Peter said that Jesus is Lord of all. He is the Lord of all. There is no boundary. There's no discrimination. It does not matter what country people come from or what skin color they have or what language they speak or how old or young they are or whether they are highly educated or not educated at all. If anyone submits to Christ in faith, then God welcomes such one. So God welcomes such a person into his family and his kingdom. In our second reading, a landowner went out early in the morning and hired people to work in his vineyard for the standard daily wage. He hired additional people at about 9 a.m., another group at noon, another group at 3 p.m., and surprisingly, again, he went out and hired another group of persons when it was 5 p.m. It is believed that the workday was supposed to end at about 6 p.m. So, and then he told each of them that he was going to give them whatever is right. At the end of the workday, he started to pay. He started with the last set of persons, and he paid them what was the full day wage. We aren't told how the one-hour shift people responded, whether they had hustled back to their houses before the landowner would change his mind. But for the first set of persons who came early, they were resentful. They expected more, even though the landowner had already agreed to pay them the day wage. This story is simply countercultural. It may not be something we'll see in our daily experiences. It is like an employer who gives a day's pay for an hour's job. The kingdom of heaven does not make sense from an earthly point of view. Now come to think of it, that the master of the whole universe, the creator of heaven and earth, took on human flesh, suffered and died so that sinners can have eternal life. Does that make sense? It is not fair. But that is the gospel message. That Jesus came, he died, so that we may have life everlasting. Even as the Son was suffering on the cross for the sins of the world, he turned to the thief and said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Again, that doesn't really make sense. But that is the gospel message to us. So extravagant is God's mercy, it often violates our instincts about what is fair. The conversation that the landowner had with the resentful laborers at the end of our parable is a warning for those of us who have been members of a congregation all our lives. We can be tempted to think more highly of ourselves than we should. Some believers are tempted to think that they deserve more because they have been around church for a longer time. Indeed, God continues to search the marketplace of this world, looking for workers for his vineyard. He is searching for the weak. He is searching for those with learning or physical disability. He is searching for the elderly, criminals, or anyone with a bad reputation. Indeed, our God is just and generous. He is compassionate to all. The Holy Spirit may find us in the marketplace early in the morning, when as infants, he works faith in us through the world, like some of us who were baptized as infants. And for all these years, we've been church members. The Holy Spirit may find us in the marketplace and give us faith at the last breath before sundown. He may find us sometime in between. No matter when we receive this faith, we know that by his resurrection and ascension, our Lord Jesus Christ has prepared a place for us. Again, some might say, if God will give me all of heaven, whether I become a Christian today or I become a Christian in 10 years' time, why should I join the church today? Why not enjoy life and then become a Christian after retirement or at the last minute of my life? But we know this, that no one really knows when the sun will be set on his or her life. We are not in control of that. We should not resist the Holy Spirit because we think we have plenty of time. In fact, now is the time of salvation. There are blessings that God gives while we work in the vineyard. Some years ago, that was 2006, just before I left for studies in Edinburgh. As I was preparing for today's service, this scripture came back again to me because this was the same passage that was read during my sent forth in Nigeria in 2006. And the preacher kept saying, "Elijah, Do not serve God with a bargaining spirit. Do not serve God with a bargaining spirit. He said, cast yourself to the generosity of God. And I just thought I should say to the congregation today, for those of us who are already involved in one service or the other, those who are making up their mind to be involved in one area or the other, do not serve God with a bargaining spirit. Cast yourself on the generosity of God, because God can never and will never be indebted to anyone. God is generous. He's a rewarder of every good work. And when I came to Edinburgh in 2006, I never knew I was going to return to Edinburgh, to Scotland, or to come to Carluke. I got myself involved in so many things in Edinburgh, at the university, at the chapel, you know, working as assistant minister in St. Giles, working with elderly people in the congregation as pastoral care visitor, going to care homes and working with the Boys Brigade Company in Edinburgh and Leith Battalion, and doing all the kinds of things I was doing at the time. And each time, and now that I look back, in fact, at the time that I submitted application to the Church of Scotland, they looked at the things I have done in the past, and they said, some of our ministers have not been opportune to do what you've done. But you know, when I was doing all those things, I wasn't doing them with the intention of coming back to be a minister in the Church of Scotland. I was only casting myself to the service of God. And God is so generous. God is never indebted to anyone. He's a rewarder of every good work. As we enter into the Christian Edweek, may we stretch ourselves, if we can, and cast ourselves and trust the generosity of God. He's well able to sustain us. Let me end with this song. My lifetime, I'll sing it once. And maybe if you want me to sing it again, you come for the praise service during the last Sunday of this month. And if you remind me, it's not like give and take anyway. But if you remind me, I will sing it again then. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. My whole life, I will give God my whole life. If I give God my lifetime, He will take care of me. He will never, never let me die. I will give God my lifetime. He will never, never let me die. I will give God my life.